sermon set up what I'm going to talk about this morning, enjoying your salvation. And I told him to listen up online. I listened to his sermon, and he was talking trash. Preachers can talk trash. And he was talking trash about me because as I listened to it, he made it sound like I called him and told him not to dress up, right? And you know, he was trying to look like I was this revolutionary guy that... And so I wanted to set the record straight, and I told him he could go online and listen. I got a text from him on Monday, July 8th at 11:49 a.m. Okay, so here's how this conversation started. He's always very formal when he writes these things and very kind of sarcastic. He put two more important items. What is current day expected / acceptable dress? I noticed on Facebook, now remember in what I heard him say was that I called him and told him not to wear a suit, okay? I noticed on Facebook that you do not wear a coat and tie. Listen to this, listen carefully. I'm good with whatever, but don't want to overdress. Okay. I didn't tell him to not overdress. I could care less as long as he has clothes. If he's naked, I don't want him here. But anyway. And he said, I'm good with whatever, but don't want to overdress. I can do coat / tie, semicolon, coat, an open shirt, no tie, or dress slacks and sports shirt. And then he says, please advise. It sounds like I don't know him. And then he talked about how wonderful the sanctuary looks. And so anyway, my reply on Monday, July 8th at 1:11 p.m. Number one, I figured I'd be formal like him. Number one, I usually wear khakis and a shirt, which is true. No coat and tie. I'm just telling what I wear. Short sleeve, it is hot. Now, he also talked about, because, just don't believe that. Believe when he talks about the Bible, but when he talked about anything else, take it with a grain of salt. But anyway, he did an incredible job of talking about how the way you can know that you're secure in your salvation. And that really bleeds into what I want to talk to you this morning. It's really a one-word thing. It's enjoy. I think one of the things that happens to us as Christ followers is that we start to play church when we quit enjoying what it means to know Jesus Christ. I've got a formula, and you may look at me and say, you know, Bill, you don't look like a normal. Wanda pointed out, well, heck, you don't wear socks, and I don't wear socks. Wanda pointed it out. Thank you for doing that Wednesday night, but I don't have socks on today. In summer, I don't wear socks. Jesus didn't wear socks, did he? I'm just checking. He had sandals, so if you want to get biblical, get your robe and sandals and come to church. But anyway, here is a formula that I have discovered can affect any area of your life, but I think it also can affect your spiritual life. And here's the formula. Familiarity, I have trouble saying that word, familiarity plus time equals apathy. Apathy. When you become familiar, and over a long extended period of time, you are familiar, one of the things that naturally happens is you become apathetic. And as a Christian, your entire life, the longer that you know Jesus Christ, your entire life, the longer you know Him, the more you will have to fight apathy in your life. True? You can say, well, I've done all that stuff. Listen, the Bible doesn't ever talk about coasting into retirement from the church. You show me the verses, I'll show you where you're wrong. But here's what I've seen too often as Christ followers, We accept Jesus Christ. We establish that relationship with Him. And then through the years, guess what? We get apathetic. We forget to enjoy salvation. And you might even say to me, do you mean I am supposed to enjoy being a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. And yet I see people going through the motions and they've been a Christian. Listen, the older you are, the bigger danger of apathy or getting misguided or following the wrong things. It's a danger with age. And yet when I look at the Scripture, here's the problem with the world, those who don't know Christ. Too many of them only know what we're against. They don't know what we're for. They don't know that it's good. It's like those Skittles are great. But the world, all they know is that the church is saying, you better not do that, you better not do that, you better not do that, you better not do that. And they begin to think, I don't want that. But here's what I'm here to tell you. People look at me as a pastor and they feel sorry for me. And I look at them and I think, my life is so much better than you could ever imagine. That my salvation is so real to me. That life gets better with time. Now I have to fight apathy just like you do. But I enjoy it. I enjoy Jesus. I enjoy. So we're going to look at seven things. I had to add one that's not on the slides this morning. But I want you to start enjoying your salvation this morning if you're not. Let me tell you what. Going to church is not enjoying your salvation. It's going to church to worship Him, hopefully. But the first thing that you need to understand is that the Bible wants you to enjoy being saved. For many people, they get saved, they get lazy, and they just wait to go to heaven someday. But how tragic is that? Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, you have some of the most beautiful language about being saved. It says this, He, talking about God, He is so rich in kindness. Have you just dwelt on the fact that Jesus Christ is kind? He is so rich in kindness and grace. You messed up yesterday. I messed up yesterday, but His grace covers that. He's rich in grace. That He purchased my salvation, my Savior. He purchased my freedom. And guess what else He did? He forgave my sins. And then look at this. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. In other words, when you got saved, God just poured it on. The problem is you get familiar with it. You forget about it. You become apathetic about it. How can you get apathetic with the God of this universe loving you, coming to the earth in the flesh and dying for you? You see, we forget He set us free. We forget that He died for us. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2:7. He says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples, listen to this, of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done for us. He went to the cross, not for fun, but for you and for me. He showed us that grace and that kindness. And it says, shown in all He has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you're united, if you're a believer, He did it all for you. You see, salvation is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus dying for you and for me to give me life. Not, see, some of you got that life and you're thinking, I'm just going to wait to heaven. I'm going to have fun now. And you're so misguided. Being a believer is fun now. We've got to understand that we are to enjoy our salvation now. How do you do that? Let's get practical. Let me just share some things. I just started writing this list of things. One thing you might do just to get back on track is sit down with your Bible and read about the torture and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and realize He did it for you. That He did it for me. Just sometimes you just need to read the crucifixion again and realize the only reason He did that is because I'm a sinner. Another thing that I do, and I did this weekend, I do it all the time, but I worship Him through music. Now, I don't sing very well. So one of the things I do is I listen to worship music. Now, it means old stuff. Like this last week, I had Liam, and I sang to him one of the old hymns, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let me tell you what, that was probably awful for him, but it was good for me. Because that's one of my favorite hymns. But listen, some of you think new songs don't exist. New songs do. You ought to listen to some of the new music. It talks about the crucifixion, the resurrection. Listen, if you can listen to some of the stuff I listen to and not shed a tear, there's a song out about God's radical love for you. So what I do is I get my phone and I just put on my playlist that I have about the cross and the resurrection, about life, about Jesus. And I just worship. You say, what does that mean? I listen. And I can't listen to what He's done for me without worshiping Him. So maybe what you need to do is turn your radio on. Sing with the radio. But focus in on God's love for you. Another thing that I do is that I'll get alone and I'll ask God to show me my sin, which I have. And then I picture myself taking my sin and placing it at the cross. Let me tell you what, that's healthy. At the cross where I first saw Him. Listen, we sometimes forget to go back to the cross and say, Lord, here's my failure to You. That's worship. That's enjoying your salvation. Listen, one of the reasons you need to take your sin to the cross, it reminds you that you are a sinner, but it also reminds you that God forgives. Another thing I do is I just meditate on things like God's love for me. What do you say? What does meditate mean? It means I think about it over and over. I think about God's love, God's forgiveness. Another thing I do to enjoy my salvation is to have my quiet time. My time where I get alone with God and I say, speak to me. And then after He speaks to me, I speak to Him. And I confess my sin and I praise Him and I pray about my needs. I just meditate about peace. Do you realize the verse I've been thinking about yesterday, all day yesterday? It says in Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no guiltiness in Jesus. There is conviction, not condemnation. And I just think about that. The other thing is tell other people about what He did for you. The good news. That's how you enjoy your salvation, to relive what He's done for you, to tell others what He's done for you, and just to get along and be overwhelmed by His love for you, in spite of you. So enjoy your salvation. Enjoy it. That's what it's meant to be. Enjoy. Don't be thinking, I'll enjoy it. Some people are so caught up on going to heaven and enjoying God, they forget to enjoy Him their entire life. Enjoy your salvation. Second thing, enjoy. I got three or four different definitions. Enjoy your wife. Man, my wife is, I've seen more of my grandson than I have of my wife. She's in Georgia, and she'll be coming back tonight, and I miss my wife. I just can't even begin to express to you how big of a loser I am when she's gone. She does good. I do horrible. But do you know it's biblical to enjoy your wife? Just listen. Okay, before I go on, enjoy your husband if you're a woman. Or, if you're single, enjoy your singleness. See, we're all thinking, if I just had the right wife, if I just had the right husband, if I just was married, I'd be happy. No. Enjoy whatever station in life God has put you in. But I'm going to talk about my wife since I have one. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live happily with the woman. Texans say woman. With the woman you love. I like the NIV. Enjoy life with your wife. Did you get that? God says enjoy your wife. Proverbs 18:22 says, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives what? Curse? No. Favor from God. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. The scripture over and over confirms the wonder of marriage, and you enjoy each other. If you have a godly wife or a godly husband, you ought to be happy. What happens? Remember the formula? Being familiar plus time equals what? Yeah, you have to fight the rest of your life. God gives you permission to have fun being married. And I think when we start having kids, we forget that. I really do. Now, what if you're single? I was single until I was 27. I was a late bloomer. And the verse I claimed was not God send me a wife. It was Matthew 6:33 that said this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all this other stuff will be given to you. All the stuff I was worried about. So I quit trying to get married. I quit trying to date. And guess who I met? Julie. She was a youth director. But God wants us to enjoy being married. It was during that single time He developed character in me and consistency and commitment. So then, I was ready when I met her. But here's my favorite verse. I usually use this at weddings. Deuteronomy 24:5 says, a newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other responsibilities. Now get this, ladies. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing what? Happiness to the wife he has married. What an assignment. Bill, your responsibility is to make her happy. You know why it's so important? That first year sets the tone for the rest of them. I was talking with a millennial the other day, and not too long ago, wasn't the other day, months ago. He said, well, we were talking about marriage. Well, you know, us young people, we don't do this anymore. And I'm like, who are you? Why? Why wouldn't you want to commit your life in marriage to the person you love? I said, well, I've got divorced. Or my parents got divorced. I just don't want to make that. Anything. And yet you want God to bless your marriage, but you won't marry Him? And listen, it only brings blessing. So, you know, the stuff about living together and all that stuff. Man, listen. I so desperately wanted to commit my life to my wife, I couldn't imagine of anything else. My life with her is so good. Now, does she get on my nerves? Absolutely. Does she spend too much money sometimes? Absolutely. But I love her to death. I can barely wait to see her tonight. Same way if you have a husband like that. It's a great deal. Well, how do you enjoy being married? You would think that everybody knows how to do that, but they don't. So I'm going to give you my list. Here's a good one. Take a vacation without kids. I'm telling you, I told my kids, I still tell my kids, your mother is more important to me than you. My wife is more important to me. I love my kids, and I'll get to that in a minute. But my wife, one of the things I hope to do in the next year or two is plan a vacation for just the two of us. You're saying, oh, what about our kids? You know, they leave someday. But I enjoy being with her. That's why I married her. And then we start having kids and I forget. We're to do things without her. That's why when you get married, you still need to date. Why would you not? I'll tell you why you don't. You have too many kids or you're too busy. Let me rephrase that. You don't have too many kids. You just don't think they can make it without you for one night. Yeah, they can. Another thing, try to schedule a date night without kids. The common thing, without kids. Do you mean we're supposed to do things as a family? Yes. Without kids? Yes. Trust me, you can still do it. Hopefully. Start a new hobby or an adventure together. Julie, not too long ago, got talked into going kayaking with our life group. And I turned over and she did. She was afraid she was going to turn over. She wasn't going to do it. Get surprises for each other. I'm horrible at that. She's great at it. Go to a marriage conference together while you have a good marriage. People think, oh, I don't want to go to a marriage conference. We're not having problems. No, you go to a marriage conference when you don't have problems. You go to a counselor when you have problems. That makes sense? Plan fun outings. Double date. You know, you remember doing that in high school? Do that in adulthood. Go out with another couple. Do ministry together. Go on a mission trip together. I couldn't get my wife to leave our kids to go on a mission trip, first part of my mission life. Now, she'd go without me. That is her love. It's about doing things together. Exercise together. Talk about spiritual things together. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says you will become one flesh. It's not talking about just sexuality. It's talking about becoming one. Two people sharing life together. And here's the truth of that teaching. You're either becoming closer together or you're growing further apart. You never stay the same. Okay. Number three, enjoy your children. Psalm 23:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. Yes, they are. They're a gift. They are a reward from Him. Yeah, at times they're difficult, but they are a gift. Say, well, you just don't know mine. It's still a gift. Children are a gift. They're not a burden. They're a blessing from God. Proverbs 17:6. I understand now. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the God of the aged, excuse me. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Listen, I love my grandson. I honestly think I may like him better than his dad. I don't know how to explain it. I know I put too many pictures of him. I don't want a picture of me. Liam. Grandchildren. And then it says, parents are the pride of their children. I hope my kids look at me with pride. Why? Because we love each other. In enjoy your kids. Proverbs 23:24, the father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. Now, how do you enjoy your kids? Let's be practical. Number one, take vacations together. You need both. You need to be away from your kids, but then you need to do vacations with your kids. You say, well, I'm poor. Go camping. We started camping. It's terrible. I would never do it except we were poor. Hated it, but my kids remember it to this day. Their dad can't put up a tent. Their dad doesn't know how to start a fire. I know y'all think I'm weird, but that's truth. And now my idea of a fire is turning it on, you know. But go on a vacation. We took our kids to Colorado one time. Not camping, but staying in a cabin. That's my kind of camping. And one of the things, we saved, and our deal was we made them go rappelling. My youngest son, I don't want to do this. I paid for it. You better get off that cliff. We went rafting in the Colorado, one of the rivers there in Brown Canyon. We went on a cruise. Saved and went on a cruise. We laugh together, make memories together. Enjoy your kids because they grow up. And then when you have grandkids, start over. Do a better job with them than you did with the first ones. Let me tell you some other things. Hug your kid. I kiss my grown boys. Listen, I'm not ashamed of that. I kiss them on the cheek. I love my sons. They are my joy. Text them. Write them. Do crazy stuff. One year we were in Dallas and a snowstorm came and they called off school. And so all of us were at home. So you know what we did? Stayed home safe? No. We got in a car, called a guy that was the substitute grandfather, and we drove and ate breakfast in the snow. I mean, it was probably not the smartest thing to do, but my kids remember it. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your friends. Let me tell you something. If your character is not what it needs to be, it may be because your friends are not what they need to be. It's the truth. This isn't in there, but Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers much harm. Who you hang around determines who you become. But you ought to enjoy your friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is loyal and a brother is born in help, to help in time of need. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. 2 Timothy 1:16, may the Lord show special kindness, Paul said, to Onesiphorus and all his family. Why? Because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. We had a family in St. Louis, the Jewers, both of them are dead now. And she was raised in a pastor's family and she knew how lonely they could be. And they made a deal with us. We were there 6 years. Every week for 6 years, we went out to eat with them. And they paid for our babysitter and our meal. And he had one rule. We couldn't talk about church. That's a friend. That's a friend. Spend time with your friends. Vacation together. We've done that. I got a text from a friend this week that just lifted my spirits. Friends do that kind of thing. Have positive friends. I don't like to be around negative people. Do you? A friend is someone you can just do life with and encourage and share what God's doing in your life. Fifth thing, enjoy your life. Now, this is where it gets crazy. People look at me and say, oh, he's a pastor. Oh, I feel sorry for him. Let me tell you what, I love life. I got it. I have Zoe, Z-O-E, Greek word for life. It's eternal, but it's also present. And I think a lot of times we forget as Christians, we are allowed to have more fun than the lost world. We are. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus wants to give a good life. Not a rich life, a good life. Philippians 4:4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. So how do you do that? You just start living. You laugh more. Christians ought to laugh more than non-Christians. Christians ought to have more fun than non-Christians. Christians ought to be the example for how to have life and celebrate it. Get out of your comfort zone. Quit living safe. Take risks. Be an adventurer for Christ. Enjoy life. Play games. We used to get together with couples and just play fun games. Smell the roses. Sometimes you sit around and look at what is around you. Listen to what is around you. Just enjoy life. It's God's gift to you. Don't make Christianity look bad by being an unhappy, boring life. Sixth thing, enjoy your job. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their what? Work? Their work under the sun. That phrase in Ecclesiastes, under the sun, means your life on earth. And then he says, the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. As cruddy as your job may be, it's a gift. And it's up to you. Listen, everybody thinks I have the worst, you know, they have the worst job in the world. Now, everybody has a difficult job. No such thing as the worst job. They're all bad, Tuzer. You know why they're bad? You got people. Best thing about my job is people. Worst thing about my job is people. Same with you, isn't it? Don't act so spiritual. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God. Listen, God has you, if you have a job, in that job for a reason. It's the biggest mission field you may ever have. And your goal, whether you like it or not, is to glorify God in it. I took a job when we were in Horatio, because we were starving to death, at the local laundry match. I'd have to close it and open it 7 days a week. It's the worst job I've ever had. Except I determined it would be the best job I ever had. And you say, well, that doesn't sound bad. Mopping and sweeping in the morning and the evening and cleaning up a lot. You wouldn't believe what people put in a washing machine. Let me just say that. It's awful. But you know, I decided I was going to make that job my witnessing tool. And when they couldn't find anybody to do it, but when I quit it to go to my next church, everybody wanted that job. See your job as a mission. Do you know really your job is just God's way? Now this is going to get you. God's way of giving you money to do His will. It's not to make you rich, to do His will. Last one. I'll be done. I've loved this sermon. I've loved it all week because I thought about these are things that give me joy. Last one, enjoy your church. The word church is the word ecclesia. It means called out ones. It means an assembly. Listen, it is not enjoying your church just to listen to sermons. It's to be a part of the body. It's to be a part of the assembly. It's relationships. I hear young people just say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Well, that's funny. Jesus said this in Ephesians 5:25. Just as Christ loved the church, He gave up His life for her. Church was not man's idea, it was God's. And Jesus Christ said, I died for the church. Here's another thing. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:5 about the church. He says, and you are the living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. The church is not a building, it's people. And every single one of you have gifts and talents that somebody doesn't have, and you are expected to use them for His glory in the assembly. We need members who are committed to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Is church membership important? Only if you're active. If you're just on a roll, you're on a piece of paper. But here's what I do know. Investing your life in people, which is the church, is the most enjoyable thing I've ever done. So how do you join? Well, some people join by letter. It's always been crazy to me. Baptists. So I'm going to join your church by letter. What does that mean? Well, you're a member of a Baptist church. They're going to say, send us a letter. I think it's just crazy. Makes no sense to me, but it's one of the ways you join. Then other people join by statement. That just simply says, you give your word that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have been immersed. We do dunk. And then the other way you join is by baptism, because we're Baptists. It means immersion. I don't know. My dad was a Methodist. I used to love him, and we'd talk. I'd always hate when he'd want to talk about baptism. I said, Dad, we just try to do what the Bible teaches. It doesn't save you. But here's all that. Letters, statement, baptism is no good without enjoying the benefit of investing in people. That's the fun part. Being involved in Vacation Bible School. Being involved on Wednesday nights. Working with kids. Working with... You ought to enjoy it. Now, does it get old sometimes? Yeah. Let me tell you what. One kid that bows to Jesus that you ever worked with erases all the bad stuff. One kid. Just one kid. One adult that says, I get it now. Changes. So I'm a big advocate of church. I enjoy it most of the time. Why do I enjoy it? Because of people. Redeemed people. Do you enjoy it? Now that's a crazy, crazy list, but I'm here to say it's good news. Those seven things you ought to enjoy. Don't look at your life like this. Don't look at your life as God first, family second, church third, work fourth. That's not biblical. There's only one biblical way to look at it. God first. God first in your family. God first in your work. God first in your marriage. God first in your school. God first in your church. It's always God first. Anything else is second. I mean, he doesn't want to be just a little part of your life. He is your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love and your grace. And oh God, I pray that this community would know the good news. That Jesus makes all the things I talked about fun. Life is good. Please forgive us when we give the look that it's depressing or boring or set our church on fire. And the way you do that, Lord, is one person at a time, including me. I ask this in Jesus' name.